Fred, who is the chair of the Clay County Republicans, to talk about what's happening with the Republican Party in Clay County. Looking forward to the elections. I guess we should say election season because it's already here and people are already voting. Fred, good morning to you. Thank you for spending some time with us. Appreciate it.
Good morning, Steve.
Fred comes your way on the Consolidated Communications Newsmaker line. Make Consolidated your partner for voice, data, and internet solutions. That's Consolidated Communications. All right, Fred, what are some of the races that Clay County Republicans are watching carefully here in this election season?
Well, we've got some of the local ones for Senate District 4 and House 4A and 4B. If you remember looking back at the map a number of years ago, when Trump won in 16, the entire western part of Minnesota was all red from Canada down to Iowa, except for the blue pimple of Moorhead, which the three
That's
representatives. And we've got a chance now to see if we can make that a little better. Trump won the 7th district by 31 points in 16, and I think he's going to do better this time.
So if he ends up, plus 32 or better, then what does that mean for Michelle Fischbach's chances in Congressional District 7 going against Colin Peterson?
I think it means a lot. Trump is going to have some coattails in conservative districts. The thing to remember about Michelle, though, she's a very formidable candidate in her own right. Leader of the Senate in Minnesota. And also Lieutenant Governor when Dayton appointed Tina Smith to replace Franken. So she does have some bona fides on her own. The thing to remember with Colin Peterson is he would never have got elected without Republican votes because the 7th District is very Republican, very conservative. And to his credit, he is a smart politician. He's positioned himself right on a lot of issues that resonate with the 7th District, gun control, the Second Amendment, abortion issues, and so forth. But the last two or three election, maybe even four election cycles, the thing to remember about Colin is the very first vote that he takes in a new Congress is for Nancy Pelosi as Speaker of the House. And I can't remember a time, and I've been around for quite a while, where an election is so important with what the national scene is going to be. I mean, we have events have positioned us in a situation where we have one party that's for freedom and liberty, the Constitution, the country as founded with our Constitution, Declaration, and so forth. And we have another party that has positioned itself with the country is illegitimate as founded, and it's got to be changed and transformed. And Pelosi is in that camp, and Peterson has voted with her over 80% of the time.
In House District 4A, Edwin Hahn, the Republican, is going against Heather Keeler, the Democrat. This is the seat that Ben Lean had held, and he's kind of resigning that post and going to private life a little bit. How do you see that race shaping up?
I think it's going to be a good one. I think Edwin is an excellent candidate. He's positioned himself right on a lot of issues that are going to resonate with the citizens of Moorhead. Keep in mind, Moorhead is a little bit more liberal than Clay County. There's some reasons for that, being a college town. It draws a lot of people to the metro area on the Moorhead side that want to receive the social benefits that the state of Minnesota has to offer. And a lot of those people will vote liberal or moderate. And I think this is an excellent chance for the Republicans to pick up a seat in the Minnesota House.
Tell us a little bit about 4B. Paul Markward is the incumbent there. Obviously, he'll be tough to beat. Is there an opportunity for a win there at all? Or will that one just be one that's going to be honestly pretty tough to get?
No, I think, in all honesty, Markward is a good candidate. He's something like Colin Peterson. He's positioned himself right. He's very personable. He's got the I don't know if you want to call it notoriety, but, you know, the name recognition, being an ex-mayor of Dilworth and a teacher in the Dilworth-Glendon system. And he comes back, and he talks conservative back here, but when he gets down to the state, a lot of times he'll vote the straight liberal line. 4B extends, it's the all of Clay County, all of Norman County, and the city of Detroit Lakes, and about, I think it's three, maybe four townships around Detroit Lakes. And the last couple times, the Republican candidate has won down on the Becker side over in Detroit Lakes. But again, it's the population up here, because of his history and so forth, that drags him across the finish line. So we'll see what happens. The candidate running against him is a very young, energetic guy that works for Arvig Communication out of Perm. And family has been in the Detroit Lakes area for many generations, and it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Brian Anderson.
Brian Anderson, okay. So Brian is the Republican there. Kent Eakin, state senator, in four, also someone who, he's been very vocal about being pro-gun and pro-life, which helps him certainly in rural parts of the state. Tell us a little bit about that race, and is that one that there's a what are the chances in that one?
Well, again, it's the same situation. He's built up a good record. He's known up in Norman County and throughout Senate District 4. He's going to be tough to beat. We've got a candidate from Hawley, a young fellow by the name of Mark Larson, who is very conservative and energetic, and we'll see what happens.
You talked a little bit before about President Trump and his ability to win Congressional District 7, and I think we feel like that's a pretty good bet. I was driving through central Minnesota. My parents live in Mora, and so we were driving through there, and in St. Cloud, there was a Trump flag wave on the Division Street Bridge there, and 250, 300 people showed up waving their flags, and driving back home, we saw a flatbed semi right next to I-94, and four or five guys were out there just in the middle of nowhere jumping up and down with Trump flags and signs. I've never seen anything like it, Fred. You've been around this political game longer than I have. Have you ever seen anything like the kind of grassroots support President Trump has in greater Minnesota?
No, not at all. Not at all. It's just amazing. You get over, you get out into Clay County, you'll start to see some signs. You get, you spread out, whether it's south, east, or north, you'll see more signs. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And it gets back to what I've said here. In 16, people ask me, do you think Trump has got a chance? Is he going to win? Because Hillary, the polls said that she was ahead all the way. And my response at that time was that it's going to boil down to two things. Number one, how much of a hidden Trump vote is out there, and how much can Hillary cheat? And yes. both of those answers were proven correct. Look at what happened with this stupid Russian dossier. The establishment's prints are all over this tremendous deluge that Trump has had to go through for almost 4 years. And there was a hidden Trump vote. People ask me now, well, do you think he's got a chance? Because it's the same thing. The media, the mainstream media, have got the polls ahead and so forth. And my answer is the same thing. How much more of a hidden Trump vote is out there based on the events of the last year, the rioting, the castigation of the police department, law enforcement? Normal average Americans just aren't going to put up with that. And the second thing is, how much can the Democrats cheat by the mail-in balloting? I've heard anecdotal reports. I've got a few apartments. I've had ballots that are applications for ballots that have shown up to people that no longer live there that I've never heard of. It's amazing. And this is in Minnesota. And then you get all these individual states, a lot of them the battleground states, where the court system or the Democrats are trying to rig the system. Pennsylvania is a good example. You can vote whether you call it. There's a difference between absentee and voting by mail, you know, when the application goes out. Absentee, you put in a request. Voting by mail, the government is just sending out willy-nilly applications for ballots. And in Pennsylvania, the government has said, well, no, we're going to accept ballots that come in up to, it's either 7 or 10 days after the election. And oh, by the way, even though they're supposed to be postmarked before the election date, if the election date is smudged or if it's not there, and if through a preponderance of the evidence, it can be shown that they were legitimately thrown in the mail, they're going to count them.
Yeah, I saw that too.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And Minnesota is doing the same thing.
Well, are you?
And you notice it's every blue state that's doing that.
Yeah. Fred, are you worried that the president has cut back on his ad spending in Minnesota? We were down in the Twin Cities area this past weekend, and every commercial break on every TV channel, it's a Biden ad. Are you worried that this is an indication that the Trump campaign has lost faith that Minnesota can be won?
No, it's, it would be nice if you could match them ad for ad. But you've got to realize for years and years, the Democrats have portrayed the Republicans as being the party of big money and the rich people. That's absolutely 100% wrong. For years and years, it's the Democrat Party that's raised the most money. It's the Democrat Party that hits Wall Street, the tech companies out of Silicon Valley. They're just rolling in money. And yes, it would be nice if we could match that. But in a lot of cases, Trump raises money from, it's kind of like Bernie Sanders, where he raises a lot of it online from small donations.
Yeah, good point.
And I don't know if you're hooked into the system at all, but I get anywhere from 10 to 20 emails a day. Asking for money from different outfits, and it gets to the point where it's kind of overbearing, but if you understand why that's happening, you can go along with it.
Fred, last question for you. What are Jason Lewis's chances against Tina Smith for U.S. Senate?
Very, very good. Very good. I think he's positioned himself in two areas early on, against the shutdown in the state of Minnesota, where Governor Walz has, you know what he's done. He's positioned himself like a lot of other governors in blue states, where they're picking winners and losers and shutting things down. This isn't America. Now, if a store like Hornbacher's or Menards wants to say that, hey, if you want to come into our store, you got to wear a mask, okay, they can do that. It's their store. It's a private business. As a consumer, I can choose to either go along with it or not go along with it. But where they've mandated a lot of these things, it runs against the grain. Lewis has positioned himself right on that. He's also positioned himself right on the law enforcement. He comes from a family of law enforcement. And what happened in Minneapolis, in South Minneapolis this summer, was actually criminal. Yeah. And I don't mean by that the unfortunate incidences that started the whole thing. What I'm talking about is the response that Mayor Frey and Governor Walz did. They did nothing for 3 days. Absolutely nothing.
Don't you wish
stood down.
Yeah, don't you wish Governor Walz was on the ballot this time around?
I sure do.
Yeah, me too.
I sure do.
Oh, Fred, great stuff. And you always give us some great perspective and a lot of good background there. So we appreciate you taking some time. And we'll check in again with you, I'm sure, as we get closer to Election Day. Thank you for your time this morning.
Anytime, Steve.
Take care, Fred. That's Fred Wright. Fred is the chair of Clay County Republicans on the Minnesota side. And